Why do we celebrate harvest? Is it because we're an Anglican church? Is it because we're British, or some of us are? Why do we celebrate harvest? Well, the Bible mentions harvest a great deal. The Bible mentions harvest many different times. And this morning I want us to look at harvest past, its origins. I want us to look at harvest present, its opportunity, and then I want us to look at harvest future, its objective. And there's an outline in your weekly news if you want to follow and see where we're going. But let's begin with harvest past, its origin. When did the harvest begin? When did the idea of a harvest festival begin? Well, we don't exactly know the date of the first harvest supper, but it's mentioned in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 4, 3 to 4, it says, "In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock." That's what we were doing last night. It wasn't a social event. It was a spiritual event. It was the church coming together to thank God for his goodness and his provision through the year that's gone. That's why we do it. That's the origin of harvest. Cain and Abel were the children of Adam and Eve. From the very beginning, we see people giving back to God a portion of what he'd given them. What did Abel bring? He brought his firstborn. Why? To say thank you. After the flood, what was the very first thing that Noah did when he touched the dry land? He built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. He said, thank you. He gave back to the Lord. Harvest festival began as a way of saying thank you. Why? Why do we say thank you? We say thank you because God is the owner. God is the owner. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. That means you and me. Everything belongs to God. He's the owner. We need to remind ourselves that we're not the owners. He is the owner. Psalm 50 verse 10 says, "For every animal of the forest is mine, says the Lord, and the cattle on a thousand hills." They all belong to him. Doesn't matter what it says in their ear, they all belong to the Lord. In our services, when we receive the offering at the end of the service, we say these words, "All things come from you, O Lord, and of your own do we give you." We give it back. We entrust it to the Lord to multiply it and use it in his work. So, why do we say thank you? Because God is the owner. That's right. Second reason is because we are his stewards. We're not the owners. We're the stewards. Leviticus 25, Genesis 2, verse 15 says, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." Who owned the garden? The Lord. Who was looking after it? Adam, that's right. Leviticus 25 says, "The land is mine and you are the foreigners. You are my tenants." That was said of the Israelites, but it could just as easily be said of the Americans and the French and South Africans and the Brits and everyone else here today. We're all the tenants. This world belongs to the Lord. We're his stewards. That's why we have to look after this world, because it's the only one we've got. It doesn't belong to us to abuse, take for granted. Let me recommend a couple of books that really bless me. This is a Bible, the Green Bible, and it's got some fantastic articles in the front, and all the parts of the Bible that have anything to do with the environment are in green. So it's easy to see the message there. I recommend that, the Green Bible. And this also, fantastic book, Dave Bookless, Planet Wise. Very practical insights from the Bible on how we should care for our world and one another. Past, its origins. We say thank you because God is the owner. And secondly, because we are his stewards. That's right. And there's a third reason we thank God. And here it is. We trust God to provide. We trust God to provide. What did God tell them to do? He told them to take a tenth of what they had grown and do what? Enjoy it. He said, if the Lord's temple is too far away, convert it to silver. And what does he say? buy whatever you like. You could have a chocolate harvest. You could have a strawberry harvest, whatever you like. Give thanks and enjoy his goodness, he says. We trust God to provide. We give back the first tenth as a way of trusting him for the next tenth and the following tenth each month. Jesus said something very similar. He said, do not worry saying, what should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Three reasons, therefore, from harvest past why we thank God. God is the owner. We are his. And thirdly, trust God to provide. That's right. Three reasons. Three reasons from the origin of harvest. Let's flip to the future. Let's think not just past, its origin, but let's think future. It's objective. What does the Bible say about the future in relation to harvest? Well, let me ask you, what do you dream about? What do you hope for? What is your longing for this world? A world free of war? A world free of homeless children? A world free of suffering? A world free of poverty? No more war? No more pain, no more suffering. I do. I long for that. Well, you know, that's precisely what's going to happen one day. God is going to do it. Jesus is coming back to achieve it. This is what it said in our reading from Revelation. Look, God's dwelling place is among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The passage does not say, we hope this is going to happen. Trust God that it's going to happen. Cross your fingers that it might happen. It doesn't say that. The Bible tells us what's going to happen in the future. How is it going to happen? One person at a time. One person at a time. Jesus says he's like a farmer sowing seed in the world. The good news of Jesus is the seed. And as that begins to irritate us, as it begins to impact our lives, as it begins to transform us, and when we come to recognize Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we repent, when we trust in him, when his Holy Spirit comes to live within us, we're born again, we become part of his family, we receive eternal life, and we become part of the solution and not the problem in our world. Matthew 13, Jesus says, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. He's telling us what's going to happen because he wants us to be on his side. The world is going to be a very different place when Jesus returns. Jesus goes on to explain that when that day comes, there's going to be a very special harvest banquet. Luke 13, Jesus says, people will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and they'll take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. So there's going to be a celebration when Jesus returns. And if we love Jesus, our role now is to invite people to join us for that coming harvest so that they too can be friends of Jesus. They too can be part of his harvest. In the last chapter of the Bible, we have this glorious picture. From each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Revelation 22, verse 2. Hard as it may seem, the earth will become a paradise again for those who recognize Jesus. How many harvests are mentioned? 12, not just one a year, not even two a year, 12 a year, one a month. Not just fruit and veg either. It's leading to healing and reconciliation between the nations. So our harvest looks back to its origins. Our harvest looks forward to its objective. But we also have the present, today. the harvest opportunities. And Tom has already challenged us about some opportunities. Andy has challenged us about some opportunities where we can get our hands dirty, where we can get involved in that harvest, whether it's in South Africa or even here in Virginia Water. We're called to be faithful. We're told to set aside a tenth. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. How many fingers have you got? How many? Shout it out. Anyone got more than 10? Anyone got less than 10? Okay. Here they are. Let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's right, you've got 10. You should have 10. The biblical expectation is that we tithe a proportion of our income. Giving a tenth reminds us that it all belongs to God. He's the owner. And I've followed a principle that's helped me to count as well as to give, and it's the 118 principle. That is, I give one-tenth, I try and save one-tenth, and then I try and live on the rest. Learn to live on the eight-tenths, the 80%. The 10-10-80 principle, if you prefer percentages. Two thumbs, one for him, one for the future, and learn to live on the other eight. Two reasons we should be thinking about this, being faithful, setting aside a tenth. Because it shows that we are being thankful. Our reading from Deuteronomy says, have a party. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and oil, the firstborn of your herds, the flocks, in the presence of the Lord, at the place he shall choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. That's the reason we had the harvest supper last night, to learn to revere the Lord's name, to give thanks to him for his goodness. Having a party together in the presence of the Lord is just as spiritual as having a service on Sunday. Our harvest celebration is a direct response to this command way, way back in Deuteronomy. We celebrate by sharing a meal together with one another in God's presence. That makes it a sacred party. And are we to blow all on ourselves? No. We're to be faithful. We are to be thankful. And thirdly, we are to be fruitful. We should give to those in need. There are many ways of giving, being less greedy and learning to eat less, to live on less, results in us having more to share, doesn't it? We can learn to live more simply. We can learn to live on less electricity, less water, less of the world's resources, more recycling, more walking, more sharing with God what he has entrusted to us. Because this year we can't separate harvest from things like climate change. Because what we do affects other people. Today is a very special day of prayer for many Christians around the world. We're praying that our political leaders and our religious leaders will act to help preserve the world in which we live. And that involves changing the way we approach our world. It involves changing the way we look at our lifestyle. It's about being stewards of the world God has entrusted to us, caring for creation, not simply participating in its destruction. Poorer countries are already bearing the brunt of the droughts, the floods, and the extreme weather conditions. We can get over it, but they can't. And some of our partners, like Tear Fund, are telling us the stories of communities no longer able to live where they used to because the climate is so harsh. We need to pray that we'll recognize our responsibilities, not just toward creation, but to other people. Do not neglect the Levites living in your towns, for they have no allotment or inheritance of their own. This is one group we should be thinking of. Who are the Levites today? Well, those are the people who serve the Lord full time. in and through the church. And that's one reason we give to and through the church. Our hope is that through your generosity and your faithfulness, we will meet our shortfall this year in our regular monthly giving. But the passage goes on to say that we should care for the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns, that they may come and eat and be satisfied. That's why we've had an Umthumba focus today, why we will give this produce to the work of Yeldal Manor, which is a Christian rehabilitation center near Reading, helping those addicted to drugs and alcohol. The scriptures expressly command us to care for widows and orphans. In James, the apostle, in his letter, he says, I really am not interested in your faith if I don't see it demonstrated in action. He says, true religion that honors God cares for widows and orphans in their distress. This is the meaning of harvest. This is indeed the meaning of harvest. Harvest past, its origins. Harvest future, its objective. And today, harvest present, its opportunities. Be faithful. Set aside a tenth. Be thankful, have a party, and be fruitful. Help those in need. You may be saying to yourself, this is way, way too much. I don't know if I can cope with this. I'm not sure I can be as generous as that in giving through the church and to those in need. But the end of the reading from Deuteronomy tells us we cannot afford not to. Notice how the passage ends. The whole purpose of celebrating the harvest, the whole purpose of giving back to the Lord something of what he has given us, is so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. It demonstrates that he can trust us with his wealth, with his resources, with his church. What more motivation can we possibly need? Imagine what this world would and could be like if each one of us practiced these harvest principles. The blessings of God are promised when we take harvest seriously. The fruits of this world are to be shared. The Lord wants every one of us to share in his harvest now and forever. Humanly, that is up to us. It's one of the sportswear adverts puts it. Let's just do it. Let's pray together. We thank you for your unfailing love. When you open your hand, we are satisfied with good things. You know every man, woman, and child in this world who is hungry, every boy and girl whose growth will be hampered because they lack resources to grow healthy and strong. You created a world with plants for us to cultivate and enough food and water for all to share. Help me to be faithful, thankful, and fruitful, investing the resources you've given me to help other people and bring glory to your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.